your source for all things winning,
for all things racing,
for all things handicapping.
XBTV is your source. And the dust is settled from Preakness 143. Big welcome into XBTV. Jeff Siegel and Rick Crusi here at the desk. We're going to take you down the backstretch. Jeff, let's just go right to the Preakness Stakes on Saturday. We saw a lot of rain, saw a lot of scratches, didn't see a lot of turf racing, but we saw the Kentucky Derby winner come back and validate that win, stay undefeated, and I'd argue the first time he was tested in the Preakness Stakes, winning by less than a length. Your initial thoughts we heard on air, had full card coverage. Now that you've had a couple of days to digest it, tell me about your review of the Preakness.
I know there's been some criticism of the race and criticism of Justify that he didn't win by a bigger margin. You also have to consider the fact that he earned a 97 buyer number, assigned the 97 buyer number, which is the lowest buyer number ever assigned to a Preakness winner since the buyers started rating the Preakness back in, I think it was 1991. So if you look at the numbers, the margin of victory, you could come to the conclusion that Justify didn't run very well. Either the competition ran up to his level or he ran down to theirs. And I'm not buying that. I want to make
not buying which one.
I'm not buying the. That's a good question.
That's two different ones there.
Yes
which
or
one,
no?
Which one are you not buying?
Yeah. No, actually, I'm not buying the fact that that it was a poor race. I think he actually ran extremely well. The winner, Justify. Interesting that Timeform USA, another respected speed figure company, actually rated Justify's Preakness win faster and better than American Pharoah's win. And of course, American Pharoah won that race, his Preakness, over and off track by something like 10 lengths. So there is a difference of opinion among the experts as
sure.
to how to evaluate.
Use that word loosely, but yeah, go ahead.
The Preakness. Here's what I want to start off by saying that last December, when I displayed my first Triple Crown tracking rating system, I had Justify nowhere to be found because no one knew that where we didn't know who he was.
He hadn't run,
right.
He had not
but
run
I did
a race
have
yet.
Good Magic number one, and I remember you asking me whether or not I thought there was a Triple Crown candidate in the group, and I said yes. I thought Good Magic had a chance to be a Triple Crown horse. Ironically, if Justify didn't exist, it was a very good possibility that Good Magic would be two for two.
Yeah.
But that's my point, because I think Good Magic is a terrific racehorse. I really do. I thought his Breeders' Cup race was fantastic. I understood why he was a little behind the eight ball leading into the Derby.
Fountain of Youth.
Fountain of Youth, he was rusty. He won the Bluegrass, but he wasn't quite himself. I thought he was himself in the Derby, and I certainly thought he would be a formidable challenge, challenger to Justify.
And he was
so
formidable.
So here's what my point. Justify goes head-in-head with a horse that I thought had a chance to be a Triple Crown winner last December based on his two-year-old form, which I thought was terrific. He goes head-in-head with that horse in a knockdown heavyweight fight, just one versus the other, with no other horse in the race even impacting that. And he gets the best of a fantastic racehorse and goes on and opens up. And then maybe gets a little tired, maybe he loses his focus, maybe he wasn't handling the track. Whatever the case is, he won his battle and he managed to hang on and win. I thought the Preakness performance by Justify was sensational. There are others who don't look at it that way. He was coming back in 2 weeks. Perhaps he was feeling a little bit of the effects of the hard race that he had. And he did have a hard race in the Derby.
Sure.
And for Justify to come back in 2 weeks, go head and head with not some 50-to-1 shot, but a really legitimately arguably the second best three-year-old in the crop, and put him away, despite being packed out and floated out every step of the way, I thought was fantastic. I don't care about the numbers. All I know is what I saw, Aaron, and I think Justify is every bit as good as his record states it is.
I think it's very important that you mentioned that it was not a long shot speed horse on the lead with him that he felt like he could put away at any time, because you just go back to last year's Preakness. I would argue the two best horses in that race dueled each other into the ground and set it up for cloud computing, who picked up the pieces because they had to take it to each other from the far turn to the finish line. Now, Justify knew good magic was not promises fulfilled. You got to take your race to him early. I think Mike did take Justify and take his race to good magic from the far turn, even though we couldn't see much of it. And Justify survived that battle, and he won the war. And watching him cross the wire, he was extended, but I'm not sure he was fully extended. Does that make sense to you?
The reason why I agree with you is because if he was completely and utterly spent, then
Mike would have been working harder.
Not only that, but the other horses would have galloped out past him. But after the wire is over, Mike eased up, and the horse just galloped out way in front again. Yeah. Like same thing he did in the Derby, by the way. The other thing I want to point out is, and this is something that hasn't been really discussed, I don't know how much of a big deal it is, but Justify won 23 flat, 47 flat, 111 and 2, head-to-head with Good Magic. The run-up to the pole, the run-up to the actual starting beam, at a mile and an eighth, or mile and 3/16, I should say, distance to the Preakness, is much shorter than it is at a mile and 1/16. It's only 30 feet. It's practically a standing start. So if you want to compare the early fractions of the Preakness to, say, what Axeman did in the mile and 1/16 through Barton, let it be known that Axeman had a much longer run to the beam. He was in full stride, and at that, Justify and Good Magic went faster to every pull. So that was a much faster pace than people realize. It was a really quick pace. They got tired towards the end. Well, of course they got tired. They're going head and head. Can you imagine what would have happened if Justify or Good Magic were out there by themselves without the other horse being in the race? You would have seen another American Pharoah type of performance.
Yeah.
So for those who are criticizing Justify, I'm just not seeing it at all. I really think that it was a terrific performance. Maybe he wasn't quite 100%. How many horses are when they come back in 2 weeks like that? But now he's going to go a mile and a half off 3 weeks rest in a pace scenario that promises to be much, much softer than it was in the Preakness.
I'm not sure anybody would have pegged Good Magic as the pace foe for justifying the Preakness, but
no,
yeah, I get it.
I'll tell you who wouldn't didn't peg it, and that was Chad Brown, who was very critical of the ride of Ortiz. And I know that Chad can be tough on jockeys, and you know he's one of these. And I see these a lot in New Yorkers. I don't know why. I hate to classify all New Yorkers under one umbrella here, but it seems to me like a lot of them always want to blame the rider, the jockey or whatever. They're always critical of that.
What do you do?
Me?
Good Magic breaks alertly like
you go.
That. You got Justify on the outside of you. If you hand him the track into the clubhouse turn, it's over.
Well, not only would you not want to hand him the track like that, but you would have to, if you watch Good Magic break, I mean, he wasn't really sent. He just kind of...
No, he just broke alertly and put himself into the race.
If you're down on the inside line and you wrangle your horse back, and I remember this is exactly what Kent DeSormo did on Big Brown, if you remember that race in the Belmont,
I do.
Where he was down on the inside, and instead of going on with it and riding that horse like a 1-5 shot, he wrangled him back. He got Big Brown mad, and Big Brown ran for about, I don't know, a half mile and said, forget this. So if you're going to ride Good Magic and you're break running and that horse wants to go, you've got to go. Now, unfortunately for Good Magic, he was drawn inside of Justify, which means he had no option. If he had been outside, he could have let Justify go and then just kind of use him as a prompter, as a tracker, kind of like what Justify did in the Derby. But to criticize Ortiz's ride on Good Magic is insane, as far as I'm concerned. He did what he had to do. He just got beat by a better horse, and you know something that happens sometime. I want to also make a comment about the Triple Crown's first two races being on an off track, and I want your opinion on this, Aaron. I have an opinion. I want you to have one as well. The first two legs of this Triple Crown have been run on very muddy, sloppy, just wet surfaces.
And it's not without a shot the third leg will be run on that too, by the way.
Never
it's
know,
been
right.
wet on the East Coast all
can we
winter
take
long.
The results? I mean, because you know as well as I do, when you handicap races, the first thing we do when we see a race on a fast track, we just draw lines through the off-track races.
Yeah.
Can you Can you do that here? I mean, are we getting a true evaluation of Justify versus the rest of this field?
Well, what's your answer?
My answer is that I don't think the off track is helping Justify at all. I don't think he likes it. I think he tolerates it. But I do think, and I'm going to bring out this example of a horse named Bravazo, who actually ran very well to be second, but he also ran well in the Derby as well. Here is a horse by Awesome Again out of Amerby C's Tizzy. And if someone were to ask me, before this horse ever ran on an off track, and his first start on an off track was the Derby, if I thought Bravazo would move up on an off track, I would say not only will he move up on an off track, but he is going to love it, just based strictly on pedigree, okay? Again, as I mentioned, by Awesome Again, Deputy Minister, that's a terrific off-track sire line. And out of him there by C's Tizzy. C's Tizzy was a good off-track horse. He was by Relaunch, who was a fantastic off-track horse. Relaunch goes to the back to the, In Reality, an incredible line for off-track betting. I honestly think that Bravazo is being made to look a lot better than he is, strictly because his last two races, which were by far his best two races, have been accomplished on an off track. You look at Bravazo, and before the Kentucky Derby, he'd run eight times. And only one time did he break 90 in the buyer, and only one time before that did he break 80 in the buyer. I don't think he's that good, but I do think the off track is moving him up. I thought the off track may have moved tenfold up by Curlin out of Amerby Tappet, but I do think he's a good colt, and I think he's shown he can run just as well on fast ground. Some of the others in here I also thought may have been moved up.
Well, so wait a minute. You're talking about the rest of the field. Justify, right. You think, just tolerates it.
I think that he may not dislike it, but I don't think it moves him up.
Could I argue out of every horse we've watched run on the two off track, Derby and Preakness, that Justify sat the best trip? And I'm not saying he didn't earn the Derby.
Right.
But he hasn't come back with mud in his face.
Right.
He hasn't come back trying to overcome getting stopped or getting started on again or encountering traffic or any kickback whatsoever. He's been in the clear, and he's run his race. The good ones to me overcome off tracks. The good ones to me overcome...
As Justify has.
Now, I'll say this. My problem with Justify in the off track, it's not so much that he didn't do well on it or tolerate it or however you want to put it. My belief is that I go by gut. And there's been times where I thought, you're not beating this horse.
Right.
I mean, I'll go back to Smarty Jones. When he won the Preakness, I would have lost my kids and my house in the Belmont because I'm like, he can't lose. Watching him run, like, he won't get beat. I haven't yet felt that from Justify. And I don't know why.
Well,
I don't know why.
Let me get back to the point about Justify.
I think the off-track helped other horses. I don't think it necessarily took Justify out of his game.
No, I agree with that.
I think it helped some of the rest of the field.
The only reason why I say
up.
That is because Justify, if you look at his form, he's had three races on an off-track.
Yeah.
He's only run five times.
What?
So I'm looking at his fast-track races. His maiden win was spectacular.
Yep.
It was the race that we all said, even though it was just a maiden race at 7/8, we all said, okay, that's a Derby horse. And his other fast-track race was the Santa Anita Derby. And those two races, Aaron, the Santa Anita Derby and the maiden race, the only two races he's run on a fast track, earned the fastest and second fastest buyer number. I think Justify is a good horse, so he tolerates an off-track. But I can't wait to see him run back on fast ground. And I think that the off tracks have kind of moved him back a little bit and moved the other ones up.
Sure.
Now, you talk about...
I don't know if moved him back, but I'd say moved the other ones up. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing that you mentioned is the fact that he's never had to overcome adversity yet. And I know what you're saying. He hasn't had dirt in his face. He hasn't been able to... He hasn't had to overcome traffic or any kind of trouble. And I get that. But I would argue that his two trips were not nearly... as easy as everybody says they
are. Didn't say
they
were easy. Just said he didn't have... He didn't have any obstacles. He has a high cruising speed, and if you get that stopped, I want to see him win, and he hasn't been impeded yet in that
high
cruising speed.
He has not been impeded. He has not been impeded, but in those last two races, he's gone not head-and-head, but pretty close to head-and-head off the, what is it, what, the third fastest Derby in history, over and off track, which probably means it was faster than that. And then he goes head-in-head with the colt that I thought would win, would be a very good candidate to win the Triple Crown, and put him away. Those aren't easy tasks.
No.
So I project in my own mind, based on the probables, and we'll talk about that in a second, the probables of the Belmont, I'm looking at the probables and I'm foreseeing a much easier trip.
You're
unless
not kidding.
Something in there is going to be there that I don't expect. I just don't see it. I mean, this is going to be the easiest race he's ever had, at least from a pace scenario.
You know that I've never been a Justify guy. I have. You've been Justify since February, and I've never jumped on that bandwagon. But going into the Derby, I said to you, if he wins the Kentucky Derby, because that field was stacked, in my opinion.
It was.
And when you beat a field like that, you earned it. You get it. I said if he wins the Derby, he won't lose again. And I don't think that he should lose the Belmont.
I don't think he will either.
I think it will be the distance if anything beats him.
Okay.
It's not going to be. He's going to have a much softer pace scenario. He's going to have everything his own way like he's had in every start. And I'm not saying, when I say he has everything his own way, I'm not saying he walked on the lead or he didn't earn it.
Right.
I'm just saying he didn't have any trouble. And by the way, that's not really a knock on him saying he's not a great horse, because if you're great and you put yourself in a position to not have any trouble, isn't that kind of your own doing?
That's
and
part
you get that.
That's
you earn
part
that.
Of your of your strength. Now, before we talk about the possibles, probables for the Belmont, I remember when Justify won the San Anita Derby and he walked on the lead and it was, he got it all.
Oh, yeah, that was me. Okay. Well, I was preaching
but
that.
But here's the thing. The fact that he was able to switch off and gallop around like that, 3/4 and 12 and change, and not fight the rider and not get rank and be perfectly happy with going 1/12 and change as he is 1/09 and change, to me, that's what my own mind thought, okay, that horse is going to be a Belmont horse, because unlike some of the other Belmont winners, like Smarty Jones, for example, who did not win the Belmont and cost himself the Triple Crown, he never really wanted to do that. He was one of these horses that wanted to get it on early and go fast every step of the way. You couldn't slow down Smarty Jones to 3/4 and 12 and change or 13. He wouldn't be happy. But Justify will be very happy to do that. It won't bother him in the least. And if the pace is slow in the Belmont, and it's going to be a lot slower than he's been
it's
facing.
It's going to be American Pharoah slow.
Right. Then you're going to see Justify gallop his horses to death just like he did in the Santa Anita Derby. All right.
Real quick, before
you
go to the probables.
Okay.
That Santa Anita Derby win, I didn't buy it because it was a home court advantage.
Yeah.
He had everything his own way on the front end. But when he shipped and won that Kentucky Derby, he took the best Bolt d'Oro had at the top of the stretch in the Santa Anita Derby, shrugged him off.
Right.
He took the best Good Magic had at the top of the stretch for the Kentucky Derby, shrugged him off.
Right.
He took the best Good Magic had early on in the Preakness and shrugged everybody else off.
Right.
I'm not knocking him because I don't think his efforts are spectacular. I'm knocking him because he's never had to overcome adversity. There's a difference between the two.
Well, we'll see. I think we'll have to get him left at the gate on purpose to do that, because he's so tactical. I don't see him ever really getting into trouble.
And maybe he never will. By the way, if he wins this next race, I'm not sure he'll run again.
Well, I think he will. I don't think he'll run.
Yeah, okay. Undefeated Triple Crown winner. Let's just call it a day.
He won't run as a four-year. I'll give you that. But I do think he'll finish out the year. There is going to be a little bit of controversy regarding the status of Audible. Audible ran very well, merely missed finishing second in the Kentucky Derby, passed the Preakness, which was a smart thing to do, and now has an opportunity to run in the Belmont with a chance to beat Audible. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Justify. Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to happen, because as everybody knows, Audible is owned by the same people as Justify. Why would you want to take a chance in winning the Belmont Stakes with another horse, who is a capable horse, by the way, and cost yourself a Triple Crown with one of your other horses? It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Well, so if that's the case, where's Axeman going to run? Because
Axeman is not owned by the same people.
Same trainer, though. I mean, if you're Bob Baffert, do you put him in there?
No.
You can't.
Well, no, I wouldn't do it, but for a different reason. See, Audible, I think, would handle him out.
Well, Axeman's going with Justify.
Yeah,
if he goes
No, that is not. Axeman is not running in the Belmont.
Okay.
Thing, but there's a different reason. I mean, if I owned Axeman and I did not own Justify, and I thought my horse could run and should run, then I'd run him, and then Bob Baffert would have to run him. But, and he still, by the way, Bob's under a similar situation with Solomini, because
that's not even close to a similar situation, Axeman
well,
and Solomini, but I get what you're saying.
No, because he may have to run Solomini. I don't think he will, but I mean, if his owners want to run Solomini, I don't think Bob is worried too much about Solomini.
That's my point.
But getting back to Audible, if I'm the owner of both horses, why in the world would I run Audible against a horse that could enter racing immortality?
You don't.
You don't.
You just can't.
You don't. You absolutely do not do it. Nothing good can come from that. Let's just say if you own them both and Audible gets up on the last jump and beats you, you go to the winner's circle and you're depressed beyond depression.
Yeah, and you just won the Belmont.
You won the Belmont and you just cost yourself a triple crown. Why would you do that?
It's crazy. You
can't. It just will not happen. But let's talk about some of the other...
The racing gods, by the way, are a finicky group. Like, they would make that happen.
That's right. They would. All right. So Bravazo, you know he's going.
Yep.
And for Wayne Lucas, you have to run. I understand it.
Yep.
I am going to, until such time as I'm proven wrong, I believe Bravazo is a mud freak, and I think he will revert to being the decently good horse, but not a great horse. And I think the...
Nice PC way of putting
that. The discrepancy between Bravazo and Justify in the Belmont on a fast track is going to be magnified 20-fold,
okay,
in my opinion. Okay.
Or 10-fold.
10-fold. All right.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
Okay.
10-fold, I've seen 10-fold run well on the dirt. I think,
well,
I just don't question whether 10-fold's a mile and a half horse myself, but he might be. I can see him running. Hofburg, I like a lot.
I love Hofburg.
I know you like Hofburg.
I loved him in the Kentucky Derby. I love him more than the Belmont.
To me, Hofburg is the one that I believe Justify will have to worry about the most. And I think if you're playing exact as he's number two. Although Hofburg does not have tactical speed.
No, but he wants every bit that far.
The horses that, but I do think that he will get second. Vino Rosso will be in there. I've seen enough of him to know that, you know, he can be good. I don't think he has the upside that Hofburg does. Blended Citizen just won the Peter Pan. I don't think he's the same quality.
Has a win over the track. That's important.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know how good he is.
I don't know how good he is. He's a trier, but I don't think he's the one that I would worry about the most. There are some reports that maybe Free Drop Billy might run. Gronkowski, now trained by Chad Brown. My Boy Jack, who might run in the grass instead. Solomini, Machismo as a loose horse that maybe is under consideration.
And has speed if they want it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's it.
So,
the horses you just named, none of them want to go early.
Right.
None of them.
Right. And none of them are good magic. And none of them are audible. And none of them are Instilled Regard, who I think maybe just picked up the pieces. He's out of training, but he did finish fourth in the Derby, so I mentioned him. All I'm saying is if he's healthy, Aaron, and is screaming and training great, I totally believe we're looking at a Triple Crown winner here.
Yeah.
I really believe it.
Yeah.
So, now, there are a lot of people who are going to resent Justify for two reasons. One is they don't think he's that good, and they don't think he is.
I don't think anybody out there thinks he's not that good.
Well,
he's undefeated.
Well, hang on.
Didn't race as a two-year-old. He broke that Apollo jinx, right?
Yeah, but I'm just talking about Triple Crown winners now. I think there are a lot of people who are going to be rooting against him because they don't believe that Justify is worthy of being a Triple Crown winner. And I got to tell you, there have been horses going for the Triple Crown in the last 30 years that I didn't want to win the Triple Crown either because I didn't think they were worthy. Okay.
I can name one, and I'm not going to. I know one for sure.
No, I'm not going to.
You
can name it.
No, because I want, look.
You know.
No, because.
For example, I didn't think War Emblem was worthy of it, you know.
Oh, that's not the one I was thinking
okay.
of. Yeah, okay.
I didn't think...
What are you asking me? Is this going to be...
Think,
is it good
I,
for the...
I don't think Charismatic was
good. Do you believe, really, that there's people out there that don't think Justify's good?
No. I think that there are people out there who don't think that he's Triple Crown good. In other words, Triple Crown is supposed to be sacred. You're only supposed to be as good as the Seattle Sleuths and the Citations of the world.
You know that I haven't picked Justify on top one race.
Right.
One race he's run, I haven't liked him.
Shocking.
But no, not shocking. Yeah, sarcasm.
Right.
But I respect him.
Well, I know
respect
you do.
What he's done, and I respect his
do
record.
Do you think that if Justify, if he wins the Triple Crown,
he earned it?
Will he be
deepest
worthy?
Deepest Derby field in
right.
30 years. He earned it.
And he will have done it theoretically, hopefully, on both on off track and a fast track, if he gets that chance.
The most impressive thing for me with Justify, he earned it. I think he'd be great for the sport because he earned it. And I'll tell you what, the first time, didn't run as a 2-year-old, broke his maiden this year.
Right.
First time shipping out of California
was
a Kentucky Derby with a bunch of people in rain.
There are a lot of people that I've talked to, a lot being a handful, because I haven't talked to everybody, who don't necessarily want to see him win because they believe, in their own mind, that it kind of cheapens the accomplishment of American Pharoah. And American Pharoah was fresh in our minds. What he won was incredible. And if we have now another Triple Crown winner in 3 years, I'm just telling what they're saying. They're thinking that it's going to somehow diminish American Pharoah's accomplishment. What do you think about that thinking?
I think it's ridiculous.
All
because
right,
that's like saying, by the way, I was five in this, like I was born in the 70s.
Right.
But because we had multiple Triple Crown winners in the 70s, that makes those accomplishments less.
I agree with you. I'm just telling you what I hear.
I mean, you tell me. Look at the Triple Crowns. There was a point where there was three or four of them within 10 years.
I'm going to give you a kind of a loaded question, though, because I know you have an opinion on this. I don't know whether or not you're going to.
I hope you're going to let me. I don't know if I'm going to answer it, but go ahead.
It's not really a controversial question, but I have an opinion I want to ask you. We've had two races now in the Triple Crown.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the Belmont Stakes, who had tougher trips, American Pharoah or Justify?
Oh, Justify.
Okay.
By a mile.
Okay, that's a good question to answer.
By a mile.
I know that you've always believed.
Who beat tougher fields, Justify?
Right.
But I'm not, that doesn't lessen American Pharoah's accomplishment to me. But
no. So at this stage of the game, undefeated Justify, winning his Preakness by a small margin versus American Pharoah, who won by 10.
Yeah.
I mean, is it fair to say that one is better than the other, or is the jury still out?
The jury's still out.
Okay.
First of all, I want to see a Belmont win from Justify before you can even throw him in that conversation.
But at this stage, okay?
At this stage, no, because American Pharoah won the Belmont.
No, but I'm saying at this stage before American Pharoah won the Belmont.
Like saying after their maiden wins, who was better?
Okay.
I can't do
that.
I can't do that.
Justify was.
No, you know what I mean? Like after their first lifetime start, who was better? American Pharoah lost his first start. I don't think you can do
that. Okay.
I don't think it's even fair to put Justify in the American Pharoah conversation until after the Belmont Stakes.
Okay.
I really don't think that's
fair. There's nothing
wrong
with that. So guess what? If he does win the Triple Crown, we'll discuss it at that time.
And I will be more than happy to do it.
All right.
Thought you were going to ask me who had a tougher trip, American Pharoah or Hofburg.
No. Hofburg.
All right. Looking ahead to this Saturday.
We've got some great racing here at Santa Anita. We got the Gold Cup at Santa Anita, which I still believe should be called the Hollywood Gold Cup.
Okay.
I mean, we have.
We're a stone's throw from Hollywood anyway.
We have stakes races named after other cities. Why does Hollywood get the shaft
here? I don't know.
Hollywood Gold Cup, also the Gamely Stakes, which was named after a fantastic race mare back in the late 60s, and the Whittingham Stakes. Charles Whittingham Stakes, the latter two on the grass, so the Gold Cup on the dirt. I'm really intrigued to see the Gold Cup. It's not quite the race that it used to be, obviously, and I'm wondering whether or not the Santa Anita handicap should be in this spot because it gets kind of lost in the shuffle where it is, where it's become now in the first week of March where, you know, people are dodging it. They're waiting for the Dubai World Cup. They've got the Pegasus in the rearview mirror. I would like to see the Santa Anita Handicap, more prestigious, by the way, than the Gold Cup at Santa Anita, occupy this spot in the calendar in the future. Switch spots.
Look at you always thinking. Yeah. You're always trying to rearrange things.
I like to rearrange
this. You're thinking outside the box.
Yeah, I like to change. I like to, do different things.
Put Justify number one in the Triple Crown Express in February.
Well, I just had
thinking outside the box.
Outside the box. But I'm looking forward to Bob Baffert winning yet another big race. I like Dr. Dorr. I do. I mean, what has he done wrong?
Nothing.
I don't know who else is going to run. It doesn't look like it's going to be a deep race. but I think Dr. Dorr is going to continue his winning ways. We don't have a great group of grass horses here in California. I think most of the good ones will be coming from overseas later in the year. Gamely's going to be a good competitive race. So great racing coming up on Saturday. And looking forward to the Gold Cup at Santa Anita.
Good talk.
Yeah.
Good talk. And thanks for letting me sit in on the backstretch. Zoe Cadman, your usual co-host here. Should be back next week. If not, I'll sit in again. I have no problem with it. I wore my boots so we could walk the backstretch. A little muddy.
Got to check the sales.
Rain this morning.
Schedule. Yeah, right. Hopefully she'll be back.
Jeff Siegler and Rick Crusi here for XBTV. You can log on to the website on demand, online for free all week long. And don't forget, when you play races, make sure you join our friends at ExpressBet.com. Wish you the best of luck, and we'll talk to you next week.